Woke up this morning, seemed to me that every night turns out to be a little bit more like Bukowski. And yeah, I know he's a pretty good read, but God, who'd wanna be? God, who'd wanna be such an asshole? God, who'd wanna be? God, who'd wanna be such an asshole? Here we go. That, my friends, was the opening verse to a song called Bukowski, which was a song by a group, Modest Mouse, who I kind of got heavily into back in 04, 05. That album came out in 04. And it was kind of spearheaded, popularized by the song "And We'll All Float On." Okay, and we'll all float on anyway. Well, I backed my car into a cop car the other day. Well, he just drove off sometimes, lass, okay? Well, I ran my mouth off a bit too much, and what did I say? Well, you just laughed it off. Well, that's all okay. And we'll all float on, okay? Anyway, but the fourth or fifth track on, it's like, it's got like, how many tracks? Like, let me see. Modest Mouse. The album's called Good News for People Who Like Bad News. For people who like bad news. I like that. Okay, here we go. So, and it's kind of a weird album. It's kind of all over the, it's kind of little, it dabbles in a bunch of different stuff. So it's got that real mainstream float on type vibe, radio friendly, catchy little riff, you know, snappy little guitar. Love that guitar, man. I don't know how he, you know, I'm sure it's not very complex how he makes that noise with that guitar. It just sounds so distinct, though. It's so interesting. But there's a lot of good songs on that album. But how many? Let's see. 16. Yeah, the six. The 16 tracks on that album. I was playing one for my lady last night. So she's out of the, she's out of the care of healthy care of the good people, the good staff of Kaiser Roseville. And so the last track on the album I played for is called "The Good Times Are Killing Me." And that's another catchy song. Let me see. Good times. So it goes, so it starts off almost like an acoustic little thing, and then he kicks into the drums. He goes, "The good times are killing me." He goes, "Got dirt, got air, got water, and I know you can carry on. The good times are killing me. Shrug off short-sighted false excitement. Oh, what can I say? The good times are killing me. Have one, have 20 more, one more's, and oh, it does not relent. The good times are killing me." So stuff like, you know, fed up with all that LSD. But it's a real catchy number. And but like I said, the album kind of bounces off. One of the songs won a Grammy, or the album won a Grammy, or some shit. I don't know. Do people watch that stuff anymore? Is that a thing anymore? I saw a billboard the other day. It had like a radio station advertisement on it for 90.9 FM or something. I have no clue what that is. Do people still listen to like radio? Like mainstream? Is that a thing? But this particular album is on the dark side. It's a little on the dark side. You know, obviously it sounds like they've dabbled in a little bit of LSD, a little coke and methamphetamines and some booze. And if they got a song called Bukowski, then they've dabbled in some, you know, fun libations, a little bit of extracurricular activities, right? Bukowski. And it's such a, you know, woke up this morning, it seemed to me that every night turns out to be a little bit more like Bukowski. And yeah, I know he's a pretty good read, but God, who'd want to be such an asshole? Because Bukowski kind of was an asshole, but you know what? That's the way, I mean, he was, and not to kind of give him a hall pass or anything. I mean, his upbringing was horrible, and he had just the worst bout of cystic acne that, you know, this is the worst time in, you know, the most formative years of his life. You know, girls didn't want to, you know, people don't want to, they kind of avoid you. You know, he was just mentally and physically abused by his dad. And he just kind of devoted his life to kind of Skid Row, you know, a voice for the Skid Row, right? Not an advocate, but just that's who he broke bread with. That's who he hung out with. The people at the pool hall, you know, the bottom feeders, the bottom dwellers, the boozers, the addicts, you know, the hustlers, the cheaters, the dregs of humanity, right? And he made it his own. That was his, you know, that's your boy Bukowski. That album just was, it's, I don't know, highly recommend it, but it ventures off into different realms. And if you like Tom Waits, you'll like this album. If you like Bukowski, if you're into Charles Bukowski, you like the album. I don't know. As far as all things musically speaking, listen to a killer podcast this afternoon with Jack White. Like, what a fact! Like, and this is Rick Rubin's podcast. So he just got done doing an album with Neil Young, and Neil Young is kind of like, you know, earlier this year, the whole controversy with him wanted to be off Spotify because of old Rogan. It was either him or me. Well, you can separate the two. The politics, like, I'm the type that will separate. I Neil Young is a legend, you know, and he makes great music, but he's a dope, you know. I mean, when it comes to like, you know, putting together some kind of whatever protest that was, that half-hearted, it was kind of like, I don't know, maybe somebody was in his ear telling him to do that shit. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm listening to the Rick Rubin podcast. Okay, so this is the scenario. Rick Rubin's talking to Jack White, two legends, okay? Talking to Rick Rubin's asking, you know, the typical questions. And, you know, where do you get your, you know, who are your inspirations? How did you start? What are you doing? What do you like? What do you, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, the real, like, Rick Rubin's not a hard, you know, he's, Rick Rubin's, he's a trip, man. He's a little out there. So he's not a hardline interviewer. He's just a casual, chill, you know. He's burning incense and he's manifesting shit right? He's talking to Jack White, right? And fascinating, though. And Jack White, of course, he's very industrious, and he's very, like, I'm a huge, like, people don't understand, like, who, I don't know how important this guy really is in the world of music. He's got his Third Man Records label, but he's also got a factory that presses vinyl records, and there's a huge demand right now. There's like, he's got, I think, what did he say, 8 machines or something like that, that he can press about 8,000 records a day or a week or something like that. So it's part of this resurgence, and he's certainly old school, and he's certainly he's legit, man. Like, you know, those other bands can't hold his jockstrap, you know, the Black Keys and stuff like that. They I know they've feuded in the past, but like, you're bringing a fucking butter knife to a gunfight, man. Like, Jack White is legit, man. Like, this guy eats, breathes, and sleeps music. I even mentioned this prior in a previous podcast. There's a video on YouTube of him. Let's see. Inside of a, I think it was a 1 second. 1 or 2 seconds. He can name any Beatles song, the beginning of any Beatles song. So when they start, you know, dun, 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 he'll just pick it, Day in the Life. Or, you know, And Your Bird Can Sing. You know, just shit like that. Just, if he can pick a Beatles song inside of 1 or 2 seconds, like, that's pretty, like, you know your shit, right? But this podcast isn't about any of that, you know? This to me is a straight slander fest, okay? It occurred to me this morning as I was walking in the rain. I was hiking in the rain. It was such a nice jaunt. I got out, it was a little drizzle. It was a tiny little drizzle. Not even it was a couple drops. Not even a drizzle. And as I kept going, it kind of, the consistency of the drops stayed the same. And then as I progressed up to about the halfway point, I got about an hour out. And then I turn around, and then about 45 minutes into the out loop, it really starts coming down. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm cool. It's all good. It's just water. I used to run races in this shit and stuff. So, but as I made the turnaround, I kind of circumvent the half of the creekside bike trail that I hike. I cut off through the suburban streets halfway back and cut through Old Town, come into Old Town there. And then at that point, the rain had stopped. And now, as I said here, I'm up here in Placerville in the foothills with all the fucking militia and the rednecks and the hippies and the hipsters. And I see the last remnants of those clouds. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. But there's just enough rain. We had a couple good... We had three good days. I think Sunday night, Monday, yesterday, and then early morning. We were supposed to get some last night. It didn't ever kind of come together. But this morning, I was surprised to see, whenever you want something, it's never there. When you don't need it, it comes in abundance, right? Am I right? But it was just a long enough stretch for the pumpkin spice latte brigade to get all hopped up and frothy, I'm sure, over the rain that we'd had so far, that they probably climbed over each other to put on their Gore-Tex boots or their thigh-high fucking Pottery Barn boots. And they're matching hats, you know, all the Ashleys and the Kayleys, they all got the same damn hat. It looks like a fucking, like a park ranger hat, you know, but it's all brown, it's kind of tan. And then they got like those, like, it's like a poncho. I think it's kind of ubiquitous. It's kind of a, like, it's almost by law, if you're a Kaylee or an Ashley or a, to, you have to wear that shit as soon as the first raindrop falls, right? And you got to head for your nearest Starbucks, get your pumpkin spice latte. Then go over to Cragen or O'Reilly, get your pumpkin spice disc brakes, right? I mean, no drum brakes. Shit. Are you kidding me? But, so that's kind of, but the pitfalls behind that, I'll tell you this. Now the sun's kind of coming back out, and you look at the weather forecast for the next few days, we're going back in the 80s now. So now you've got to own it. Now you've set the tempo, right? So you're Ashley, you're Kaylee, and you're, you know, you got your Gore-Tex or your Sorels, you know, your fucking polar fleece. I can guarantee you my sister's wearing a polar fleece right now. It's probably 79 degrees, you know. It's probably 83 degrees, and she's got a polar fleece on, right? And some fucking after skiing boots. See, this is the talk shit episode. This is the talk shit, right? And but the pitfalls of signing on for that little insanity trip as far as dressing like a fucking page out of the Pottery Barn is, now that we're creeping, we're going to be back into 87 degree weather, 91 degree weather here by the end of the week. And it gets hot in us. It gets hot. And you know they're going to ride it out. They're going to be sweating under that shit, you know. They'll be down at Starbucks, you know, just getting all Karen'd out on the fucking baristas, you know, just berating them in their fucking thigh-high boots. Yeah, this is a slander fest, folks. So, but I guess I might as well air it all out now. I mean, yesterday was, as I was on my hike, my morning hike, I give old Rogan his due, you know, but I'm going to be, this is where, okay, so I'm going to be like Neil Young. Oh, so getting back to the whole Neil Young thing, sorry, I'm bouncing around a little bit. So as Rick Rubin is talking to Jack White, all of a sudden, like, Neil Young just pops in. He just pops into the studio. Like, just a pop-in, you know? Like, that's kind of cool. It's kind of wild. But the reason I bring that up is because this is my crotchety old man take. This is the crotchety old man podcast day, right? So, and I'm going to talk like Neil Young. I'm going to be like a crotchety old man, you know? An ex-crackhead folk singer, right? And I'm going to talk about Joe Rogan. Fucking Rogan, man. This guy, I mean, I love the guy. I know he means well. I know he's, I'm getting tired of him, like, just sitting there with his guests going, gosh, I wish everybody was just, they just do, like, you know, like, work out like we do and eat properly like we do. You know, like, all right, first of all, we get it, man. It's the same fucking message every time. And then he talks about homeless, and then he talks about, you know, nobody's fixing anything, and yet he's not really kind of stepping up and upping the ante. And then he has his fucking guests on, and it's the same fucking thing. There's no solutions to anything. You know, when he talks about, when he's talking with psychiatrists and psychologists and, you know, people in the health industry, people in the medical industry, like, they hypothesize the whole fucking episode, and it's kind of like, it's like a big stroke fest. It's like a big stroke-a-thon. They're just stroking each other, like, you know, if people would just not eat bad food, you know, if people would just work out and get biceps. All right, so you wade through all that shit, right? His little sanctimonious little thing, like, And you can wade through the MMA shit. I don't give a... I mean, who gives a fuck about some rear naked chokehold? I don't give a fuck. I'm not here for that, right? But he wants to talk about, oh, couldn't be more than 500 to 1,000 comedians in the whole world could do arena. Okay. I mean, is there a demand for that? I mean, is there a shortage? Is there an alarming shortage of arena comedians? So who do you got? So who do you bring on? You bring on your boys. You bring on Ari Shaffir. You bring on Tom Segura. You bring on Shane Gillis. I'm going to give Mark Norman a pass because he's not really part of that crowd, you know? He's like, he's kind of an independent. But Rogan's got his posse. These guys are all in his pocket, right? So it's like that Ari Shaffir. And I'll give Bert Kreischer a pass too. I think they stand on their own. But I think all of them at one point had to kiss Rogan's ring. It's like any Irish band coming out of Ireland in the 80s had to kiss Bono's ring from U2, right? Like U2 had to give you the final say on whether or not you're going to be allowed. Because how many other are you aware of any other Irish bands that came out of Ireland in the same time period? Absolutely not. And speaking of which, I want to get this fucking U2 album. Hopefully, did they get rid of that fucking shit off everybody's iPhone? I don't know. But, so you got these fucking guys, right, who they all have to kiss Rogan's ring, right? They're all in his pocket, you know? And he just keeps talking about, like, Shane, like, my producer loves Shane Gillis. And I don't know what it is about the guy. He looks like he has Down syndrome, okay? And I'm sorry, nothing against Down syndrome. If you got Down syndrome, I'm sorry. But that's your excuse for looking like you have it because you have Down syndrome. But if you're a dude that's just crushing, you know, Coors Lights for 3 hours and you know, looking like a dope, I can't get behind that. But that's my... But the one yesterday was really just the clincher. I'm like, okay. So he's all talk, you know, he's building up these young acts, right? Tony Hinchcliffe, Shane Gillis. And then this fucking kid, Hans Kim. Sounds like just the name alone, Hans Kim. It's a German Asian name. All right. I want to know what's up with this guy. I hear good things. Rogan's always like, he's an assassin. These guys are assassins. So he had this fucking dope on yesterday. So I tune in while I'm out on my hike. This guy can't put two words together. He takes one hit off of a blunt or something. And you don't hear from him for the rest of the podcast. He says two words between him and Tony Hinchcliffe. They determine he's basically autistic and they just kind of move on. Like, what happened? Who is this? This guy's an ass. He's an assassin? This guy? I missed that one. I don't know. Sorry, brother. Don't know what to tell you. But, I don't think we're... I don't know. I get it. You gotta pump your boys up, you know? You got to sell them. You got to sell these guys. I get it. But damn, dude. I don't see it. But so then moving on. So yesterday as I picked up my lady. Poor girl. She just has no support anywhere. Like, it's a long story, but she just does the best she can. That's what we're all trying to do. We're all trying to do the best we can. Except for the immediate people in her circle. Except the people in her immediate circle. Just It's sad. I'm too much of an empath, I guess, to, you know, to see somebody be brought down by their, you know, by their own family. And it's a whole backstory, but as I picked her up, she hadn't eaten in 4 days. And, nor had she slept, but so when I picked her, well, until she got, you know, to the hospital, and then I picked her up, and I picked her up right about 5:15. I guess she just missed dinner over there, the dinner service. So we stopped off at Togo's for one sandwich, $17.11 for one sandwich. $17. It was $17 sandwich day over at Togo's. You know? $17 for a sandwich. For a sandwich. One sandwich. As the French say, un sandwich. Like, fucking what the fuck is going on? Fucking shit's just going south around here. I mean, you need 3 jobs just to stay in debt. You know? And fucking, you got fucking a culture war going on. And this fucking tool in the Senate, what's his name? Lindsey Graham. Is that really his name? I mean, that's a man's name? Lindsey Graham? Saying that if Trump's indicted, there's going to be hellfire, there's gonna be chaos. Like, what are you talking about, dude? What are you talking about? Because it came down today that they're suing old fucking Teflon Don, you know, the state of New York suing this bastard and the rest of his family. Don Jr., that fucking retard, Eric and Ivanka. Yeah, they're going to court. It's, I don't know, we'll see. They keep threatening to put this guy in jail. I don't know. Not much seems to stick, but the mere fact that this fucking retard Lindsey Graham, says there's going to be hell to pay if he's indicted. Why? Why? What are you doing? Are you appeasing your redneck following, your fucking, these fucking inbreds? Is that what's going on? These fucking, these fucking turnips that follow this, what the hell are they gonna, you know, I'm not real worried about a civil war, because these fat fucks can't get out of their own way. On part of my hike, I walked by, as I'm going into Old Town, there's a big, it looks like an army barracks. It looks like those half dome arched barracks that like Gomer Pyle slept in, right? And but it's been converted into a body shop. And it's called Patriots Body Shop or some Patriots. They do like lifts for your Jeep or your truck, or accessories, or, you know, upgrades, things like that. And you can kind of see through like the little, like they've all got those big fucking militia beards, you know, like, you're like, okay, Patriots. Yeah, I get it. All right. You guys are some fake ass fucking militia cult members, right? I get it. I see what's going on. Like, fucking put the donut down, Sasquatch, and pay your child support, dude. Like, nobody's going into this shop. We get what's going on. But these are the guys that we're supposed to be afraid of in a civil war. These fat fucking turnips. These guys with the high cholesterol. These guys with the bad heart. These are the guys that are wandering through the hill. I don't think so. You know, the guys that have, like, the fucking M16 rifle decals on the back of their trucks, you know? Or instead of a stick figure, which is fucking mindlessly stupid. Stick figure family, they got their machine gun family. Like, what kind of weird... That's fucking... To fetishize something like that is so fucking weird. But these are the people we're supposed to be afraid of if Trump gets indicted? These guys? I doubt it, dude. Those fucking... Those fat fucks had... They had an aneurysm just going up the steps of the Capitol last year on January 6th. I mean... They were out of breath, you know, by the third step. I'm not worried about these guys. The same guys that follow QAnon, the QAnon guys, we're supposed to be afraid of those fucking fat fucks. Okay, all right. See you Friday. But that's what I'm. Whatever. I don't know. You know, for me, my whole thing is like. I'm just going to keep to myself. I'm going to stay anonymous. You know? Stay under the radar. Not for any particular reason, other than just to stay out of the... I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be swept up in the whole momentum of any of this mess. Right? Like... It would be morbidly fascinating just to see them try and assemble... Like, there's guys I used to work with that I know are fucking militia guys now who just, you know, they spend their weekends doing tactical shit, you know, dressing up, playing, they're LARPing, you know, live action role playing. They're out there like hiding in a fucking bunker, just jacking off, you know, trying to purify water and, you know. Do their doomsday prepping and all that shit. Like, and I was kind of like when my lady, like, if she would, she'd put that show on sometimes, Doomsday Preppers. And I'd have to sit back and I'd laugh. I was like, cause you look at these weirdos that, you know, they've all got those like, they've all got like flat tops and they've got those, glasses that, you know, I don't know what you call them, but they get darker as the sun comes out, you know? They change to sunglasses on their own. Weird shit like that. And they all got bad fashion sense, you know? So what they're doing is that they're canning like, you know, fucking peppers and corn and shit like that. But the real, see, that's all kind of like, that's part of the territory. But the real thing that they really get excited about is teaching the kids guns. We're going to go out and gun shoot. Like they're just so like, they are like, they want something to go down. Like they're waiting for something to go down. But it just would always dawn on me. Like if something really went down, like one prepper was in an apartment and it was a female, but she was prepping in her apartment, like on like the second or third floor. Like, bitch, they're gonna pick your bones clean. Like, you're gonna get ransacked. Like, who are you prepping from? What, you know? If it's a solar flare, the grid goes down. All hell breaks loose. I mean, we just had a pandemic. Nothing happened. We just had a pandemic. The same shit that those guys in Doomsday Preppers were talking about. Like, oh, I'm getting ready for, you know, pandemic. You know, a viral pandemic. Bitch, we just had one. You're still just sitting there on the couch with your fucking... You got your left hand in your fucking shorts and the other one on the remote. And these are the guys that we're going to go to civil war with? Oh, my God. I'm shitting myself. Shitting myself with fear. So yeah, I just want to stay anonymous. I'm just gonna stay like, kind of like I do at work. Like I'm a ghost at work. I'm a mystery man at work. Nobody knows. I don't go to the office. Don't need to. Rarely, sometimes pick up a check or something. But other than that, like my other buddy who I drive with. He's a contractor as well. He got a call from the head of the office, the manager. Said that he had three accidents on his driving record, which was not the case. It was just kind of a generalized report that was printed and alerted via the insurance company of the insurer of our company that dispatches to us. And they called him, they called this guy Jeremy, the manager, and they said, obviously they told him, like, hey, you got a guy with three accidents. So Jeremy calls my buddy Ruben, says, you got three accidents. He's like, no, I don't. Because one had dropped off. It was past due. It was like past 3 years. After 3 years, the drop off. This one was dropped off. One was a hit and run that I guess a separate insurer in the incident had relegated him as the one at fault, which was not the case. And then an accident that he had, really only had one. But just an arbitrary decision by some fucking pencil-pushing bureaucratic fucking insurance salesman just decides this guy's fate, his future, his livelihood, right? And go fuck yourself. Like, that's why I don't talk to these guys. I don't hang out with these guys. I don't talk to them. I don't need to. We're not pals. I don't get in any football pools. I'm not buddy-buddy. I'm not, you know, borrowing anything from anybody. I'll joke over the phone, but you're not going to see me, man. You're not going to find me. I'm gone. I'm a mystery man. I'm out. I don't exist. So, and that goes for the rest of, like, I'm not interested in, the older I get, the more, I don't know, it is kind of a Neil Young crotchety old man type thing. It's enjoyable to be the slanderous sometimes. I like to slander shit. I like to talk shit about these idiots. Or what I view as idiots. That's just my perspective. I'm pretty open-minded about it. But So these fucking self-inflated retards on Rogan, you know, Shane Gillis, these guys, they're just bloated on their own ego. They're so in Rogan's pocket. Like, and Ari Shaffir even kind of stated that to Marc Maron, which was, you know, I would listen to that interview. Marc Maron had an interview with Ari Shaffir, and that was a really good interview. That was an interview. Rogan just doesn't talk, and I get it. He's not an interview. He's not a journalist. They're just bullshit. But like that fucking podcast with Hans Kim fucking bored the fuck out of me. It was like they ran out of shit to talk about. They're like, whoa, we kind of hit the wall, huh? Like, fucking say something. Aren't you guys like the greatest fucking entertainers? Aren't you like this rarefied fucking species that you're the only ones that can do an arena in comedy? Like, but these fucking guys, they're like, they are to Rogan what like Stuttering John was to Howard Stern or Gary Delabate. Like, they're like bit players, you know, that just kind of suck on his nuts, right? Yeah, there, I said it. Oh, all the shit's coming out today. Oh, yeah, I'm exercising some shit today, boy. But getting back to the whole fucking, I don't know, maybe it's the weather. And the weather is fucking, it's weird, it's unpredictable, you know? I just survived the heat. The rain finally came. And it was much needed, but it was too little of what we needed a lot of. and it's come and gone now. I was dusting off my fucking Tom Waits albums, Rain Dogs, Little Modest Mouse, you know, some of that gritty music, some of that overcast, those that music you play on a cloud, on a darker day, on a blustery day, on an introspective day. And now it's gone. It's gone. You know? It's gone, like the conscience of a pumpkin spice latte, Ashley. Gone. But fuck it. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, these guys, like, these fucking guys, these fucking patriots, these quote-unquote patriots, these guys should worry less about a civil war and worry more about how to avoid, like, a gastric bypass, you know, and lower their cholesterol. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, so take that, bitch. I don't know, man. We got a long way to go. I mean, if Neil Young is anything to go by, that motherfucker's 70 years old. That guy had a whole rock of crack cocaine hanging out of his nose on a live performance one time. So, my lady, she's got a lot of years left. You know, it's easy to get down on yourself. You know. At a certain juncture in your life when things aren't kind of breaking your way, you got a lot on your shoulders, wears you down, you look for ways to kind of check out. But the problem is, all that shit's still going to be there. All that grief and all that. Isn't that, you know, sometimes there's nothing you can. Sometimes you just gotta let things happen, you know. Just set things afloat and see. You know, like the Modest Mouse song. And we'll all float on a carrier. And we'll all float on a carrier. And we'll all float on a carrier. And we'll all float on anyway. Well, dun, 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 dun. All right, that's it. That's all I got for you today, folks. Arrivederci, babies.